your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed the conversation we had with Dana Lyons, really focusing on the markets, individual sectors, sectors that Dana likes and where he sees opportunity. Boy, oh boy, Dana has been pretty much spot on during this pullback in markets. We are now chatting with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manager of the Euro Pacific Gold Fund. Adrian, I want to stick to more of a macro conversation here when it comes to how different markets react in these environments. We'll start off with the whole narrative around recession, because recent economic data out of the U.S. and actually, in all fairness, out of a wide range of countries does show a broad slowing. And depending on how you want to view the data, well, we could have a recession or a so-called recession right around the corner. This ties into a Fed tightening. We'll get into that scenario later. Let's say we do move into a recession, and it's not a short recession. It's at least a couple quarters, maybe even over a year long. When you're looking at individual markets, how do you break down where investors could invest, or quite frankly, should investors even be investing while a recession is underway?
Good day to both of you. Thank you for having me. Let's just start. I mean, I think there's, despite what the Fed is saying, the Fed doesn't think there's a very high chance probability of a recession. Jerome Powell still thinks they can have a soft landing. But despite that, it seems pretty clear, as you say, that the U.S. economy and other economies are slowing. And it's hurting in particular, as you would expect, it's hurting in particular the less well-off people, the lower middle class, the working class. And you look at Target and Walmart and several other stores, in fact, in the U.S. that have reported but cater to that demographic. Have reported warning signs, and in particular, what we're seeing is consumers may still be spending the same amount of money, but with inflation, with consumer prices up 8.5%, and many people think they're actually higher than that, of course, that means that the volume has declined. If people are spending the same amount of money, but prices are up, the volume has declined. And you're seeing two things. You're seeing people forego things that they had wanted to buy, or indeed that they normally buy. Recent survey of consumers said that 60% of consumers said that in the last 2 weeks they had not bought something that they would normally buy. And the other thing that's happening, of course, is people are downgrading what they're buying. And about 50% of people in this survey said that this year they have consistently bought lower quality or perceived lower quality goods. In other words, you might buy the store brand cereal instead of the Kellogg cereal. So I think there's, in my view, there's very little doubt that we are heading into a recession maybe by the end of this year. I mean, a recession, as you know, in the U.S., the definition is two quarters of back-to-back negative GDP growth. So, you know, whether we can call a recession this year or whether it starts this year, but we don't call it till next year, I don't know. But there's very little doubt in my mind that we're heading there. If inflation continues anywhere near where it is, so 5, 6, 7%, or the Fed continues to tighten, we're heading into a recession. I think we're going to see a recession before we see inflation under control. What is inflation under control? The Fed says 2%. I would say 0% was a better inflation rate. But we're going to see a recession before we see inflation under control, which means stagflation.
All right, Adrian. So you've outlined the fact that you do think we're going to see a recession in the U.S. in the near term. Back to the question, though, what sectors, what areas in the financial markets can do well, can withstand the downtrend? Let's get back to more of the investment thesis behind this, please.
So in answer to your question, there are various studies that have been done by various organizations. I'm sure a lot of people have seen them, about how different assets perform in different economic scenarios. If you look at stagflation since 1971, so in the last 50 years, we've had 22 different tightening cycles. Most of them haven't lasted very long, of course. Some of them have only been a month or two. But we've had 22 different tightening cycles since 1971. And typically, in a tightening cycle, stocks go down at the beginning. Typically, interestingly enough, the dollar tends to fall and gold tends to go up once we get into the tightening cycle. They tend to have opposite directions ahead of the tightening cycle when the Fed is talking about it. In a stagflation, energy came out, looking at the history, energy came out as the top performing asset class, followed by gold. And they were the two standouts, over 20% in each case, followed by emerging market stocks, emerging market bonds, and other commodities. And developed stocks and bonds, including U.S. stocks and bonds, tended to be the worst performers. So that's been fairly consistent over that 50-year period. Now, one of the things you always have to do, of course, correlation is not causation, sorry. Anytime you look at something like this, you have to look at, well, were there other things going on that affected the results? Clearly, in the second half of the 1970s, which was the long inflation, the long stagflation, rather, the long stagflation that we had, and the most famous one, we did have an extraneous factor, which was the Arab oil embargo, which sent oil significantly higher. So I'm not saying we can discount oil, but I think we have to be aware that return skews, you know, the whole study. But certainly gold has been the number one performer and or near the top and consistent over all tightening periods, and that's important. And commodities have been generally, including oil, have also been strong. Now, emerging markets, I mentioned, or let's not call them emerging markets these days, let's call them smaller markets, because, you know, when we look at emerging markets in the 70s, we were including Singapore, Hong Kong. You know, I don't think of those as emerging markets. Let's call them less developed markets or smaller markets. They have tended to do well in this environment, particularly an inflationary environment. But the important thing for those markets is that the dollar declines. So if we don't see a dollar decline, those markets may not do so well. So I'm sorry, I've thrown a lot at you there. But I mean, the bottom line, if you like, is in a stagflation, which is my default scenario in the economy for the next year or two, gold will do well, commodities tend to do well, smaller foreign markets, particularly value stocks, tend to do well. The U.S. and other developed markets, including, of course, bonds, tend to do badly.
Yeah, Adrian, a lot to digest there, and a couple good points. I mean, the first point I think you made was that there's the health of the consumer is what we have to look at here for growth moving forward, and if growth is going to slow down. They're getting hit from both ends. The consumer is getting hit from inflation and prices at the gas pump, prices at the grocery store, prices for services, but they're also getting hit by the wealth effect because, you know, you had mentioned that if the markets were to get hurt further, people would feel that and maybe dial back their purchases. I would submit that after a lot of markets pulling back 20-30% or some sectors down 40-80%, a lot of people are already feeling that wealth effect erode. And we just saw some of the worst starts to for housing starts yesterday out down 16.6% month over month and over 20% year over year. So there are less homes being built. So you are starting to see that slowdown in growth narrative. And you brought up the recessionary pressures and which sectors will do good. It sounds like, to summarize, you're looking for people to look for value. So whether it's gold or the energy sector, some of the commodities, or just maybe some of the more defensive names, people are going from speculative, you know, the less consumer discretionary, more consumer staples. What do they actually need to survive? And they're dialing back a lot of their excessive purchases. Is that a good way to look at it?
I agree with you 100% there. And when I talked about Toll Brothers, a high-end house home builder, I was just saying they had a good quarter and reported that they had strong pricing power. They saw no decline from pricing. But first of all, they're a high-end builder. And secondly, that's a backwards-looking report. So I absolutely agree with what you're saying. You know, when you get to investing, I've never been, I don't have so much of an ego that I won't quote other people. And Matt McClellan, who's the chief investment strategist for the First Eagle Global Funds, which, you know, maybe in Canada they're not famous. They used to be called SoGen Global, run by Jean-Marie Aviard. They had one of the best performing returns over 40 years. Never number one, but rarely near the bottom. He made a really great comment. He said, you know, if you're in a boat in a storm at sea, your goal is to get home safely, not to break the speed limit. So in this kind of environment, you shouldn't be looking for what stocks are going to give me the best returns. You should be looking for what assets are going to protect my assets as best as we can. And so again, that comes back to gold. Gold is a clear beneficiary of that. Now, you know, it might mean that we want to shift our weighting within the gold sector, you know, buy a little more of the physical, buy a little more of the royalty companies, buy a little more of the well-financed, you know, the big producers that do have good balance sheets. And I hate to say this on your show, but maybe buy a few more of the, buy a few less of the speculations, unless they have a clear trigger.
Fair enough, Adrian. This does not seem to be the environment to get into some of the riskier stocks, especially ones that bleed cash, simply because cash seems to be pretty hard to come by for some of these stocks. Adrian, let me ask you then quickly, how aggressive are you in these markets? Are you actively investing right now? Do you think a near-term bottom is in, or are you still sitting on a bit of a cash position waiting for a potential further downdraft that covers a wide range of markets and sectors?
Well, no, good question. And remember, I'm a full-time investor. It doesn't mean I'm any good at it, but I'm a full-time investor. I'm doing this full-time. And so what I'm doing may be a little different from what maybe the guy sitting at home or the guy with a full-time job might want to do. I do think the global markets, the developed global equity markets, have oversold in the short term. We're talking short term now. So I think this, like today, yesterday, and even on Friday, it's easy to be. I'm an excellent hindsight investor, by the way. I think this is a good time to be buying some major equities. Now, I would focus on the more defensive sectors. I'm not going to rush into Tesla, even though in the next month, Tesla, or ARK fund may prove to be to give you better returns than some of the other things, but I would focus on the more defensive companies, consumer staples, and so on. But I think the market has definitely oversold, and that's the U.S. market. It's also the British, European markets. Notice as an Englishman, I separate Britain from Europe. It's also Hong Kong. and Singapore. So a lot of markets around the world are offering good opportunities right now. Now, these will likely, for me, they will likely be trades. And it might be 2 months, 3 months, you know, that kind of time frame is what I'm thinking. But certainly if we see markets rally back to where they were at the end of March, and certainly where they were in, you know, January, I will be looking to lighten up. So that's number one. If we're looking at commodities, yeah, and gold, I think a lot of the commodity stocks and gold stocks are well overdone. And that includes, you know, copper, for example. The copper stocks have had a outsized decline, I think, based largely on concern about China. You know, Freeport's gone from, what, over $50 to $35 on last week. You know, that's a pretty significant decline in just quickly looking, you know, in a month. And a lot of other copper stocks have had similar declines. So I think this is a good time for traders to be buying. And that certainly also applies to gold. I mean, we've been filling up with gold, frankly. We've been filling up with gold and gold stocks. But I've been focusing more, you know, the larger cap names, as opposed to, let's say, a year or 2 years ago, when two of every three purchases might be a junior or an exploration or a prospect generator. Two out of every three buys today or this week have been seniors. And you know, I think people who don't own some of the big royalty companies, they had a really good opportunity last week. They've got a good opportunity today. Franco at 140, Royal Gold at under 115, Wheaton, Osisko. I think these are all good buys right now, especially if you don't own them.
Adrian, I think that covers it here. You've walked us through a wide range of sectors, and I think the real takeaway is it's a very different market than we have experienced, it feels like, in the last decade. I realize we've had pullbacks in the last decade, but this long, drawn-out pullback with the Fed seemingly sticking to its tightening path really has to have investors focused on different aspects of the market, and also maybe not being too aggressive right now. Look, it's always enjoyable chatting with you. Thank you again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Well, thank you both. Thank you both very much.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.